Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, chapters entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. And today we're on text 39. Katam Swit Driyate Dandaha Kim Va Asha Stanam Ipshitam Dandaha Kim Karinaha Sarve Ahoswit Katichit Ninam Katam Svidriyate Dandaha Kim Vasya Stanam Ipshitam Dandya Kim Karina Sarve Aho Svid Katachininam Katam Svidriyate Dandaha Kim Vasya Stanam Ipshitam Dandya Kim Karina Sarve Ahosvit Katichin Minam. Please chant. By which means
Driyate
is imposed Dandaha punishment Kim what Va or Asha of this Stanam the place Ipshitam desirable Dandya punishable. Kim, weather. Karina, fruit of actors. Sarve, all. Ahosvit, or weather. Katichit, some. Nrinam, of the human beings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable? or only some of them? Please repeat. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities? Punishable? Or only some of them? Purport. One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. There are innumerable living entities, the majority of whom are in the spiritual world and are Nichamukta, everlastingly liberated. There's no question of judging these liberated living beings. Only a small fraction of the living entities, perhaps 1/4, are in the material world. And the major portion of the living entities in the material world, 800 million of the 800,400,000 forms of life, are lower than human beings. They are not punishable. For under the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible, but not all of them are punishable. Those engaged in advanced pious activities are beyond punishment. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas particularly inquired about who is punishable and why Yamaraj has been designated to discriminate who is punishable and who is not. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnu Dutas. Katam svidriyate danda, kim vashyastanam ipshitam, dandya kim karina sarve, ahosvit katachin rinam. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umitam Gena Tashmai Sri Gurudeva Maha. So this is a very interesting leela. The Vishnu Dutas, as we know, have interfered with the Yamadutas attempting to drag the soul of Ajamil from his body. And the Yamadutas are just completely bewildered by this strong action that they've taken. And then on top of that, you know, they're asking them these penetrating questions, which it's kind of like adding insult to injury. First of all, they're interfering with their what they consider super important service, and then they're challenging them, like in major ways. If you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of your religion. So, and then what is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all karmis engaged in fruitive activities punishable? Or only some of them? Because this world is Dukkhalyam Ashashvatam, you know, it's a pretty heavy place. You know, all of you have vast years of experience in this regard. You know how ferocious this material energy can be. And it serves as an impetus for devotees to steer clear of these causes of suffering, you know, which means engagement of the senses and the objects of the senses. Nunam pramate kurute vikarma yarindriya pritaya apinoti na sarumanye yata apinoyam asanapi kleshata asadeha. So Lord Rishabhdev is instructing his hundred sons. He said that Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. You know, when one considers sense gratification the aim of life, he simply becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activities. He doesn't know, he doesn't have a clue that due to his past misdeeds, he's received this material body. Actually, he shouldn't have taken on this material body, but he got it because he wanted sense gratification. And this is actually the source of all of his suffering, this material body. So then Rishabhdev, he ties it up by saying, those who are actually intelligent shouldn't again engage in sense gratification whereby they perpetually receive one body after another. So that's what's going on. This is, you know, what the material world is designed for, you know, for people that want to somehow or other try to enjoy separately from Krishna. As Prabhupada sometimes refers to it as a prison house. And, you know, this prison house is filled with different torture chambers, you know, for the living entity. So you can actually undergo severe torture. But why? It doesn't seem, you know, like the Western philosophers, they have a whole branch of philosophy that deals with the issue of evil, the issue of suffering. And believe it or not, they call it theodicy. Okay, theo, and then it's almost like idiocy, theodicy, because it's you know, just based upon their mental speculation. You know, why is it that people suffer so much? What's the cause of this? You know, and they, you know, like Christians, they don't really accept karma. Prabhupada, once he had a discussion with a very high-ranked Christian, and you know, this man was saying, well, you know, if someone's going to be punished, then there has to be a witness so that he can actually be found guilty. But where's the witness, you know, if he's all by himself and performs some sinful activity? So, you know, this, of course, super souls there, we know these things, you know, but it's incredible the level of ignorance that manifests, you know, in Kali Yuga. And because of this ignorance, you know, that's kind of the foundation. From ignorance, you know, misidentification of the body as a self, then comes desire, and then pop. You know, then sinful activities. From the sinful activities come all of the kleshas. So, right here, the Vishnu Dutas are beginning their rectification of the ignorance that some of the Yamadutas possess. You know, they're beginning the process of instructing them and rectifying the wrong that they're about to commit. Has anybody ever been, that's here today, ever been arrested under false pretense? Yes, Prabhu? Did you go to jail? Yeah? Wow. So that's essentially what's happened with Ajamil. He was being arrested under false pretenses. One time I got arrested. This was like an amazing event. You know, the New York Temple was fighting a legal case with the state of New York to get the right to free speech, you know, to distribute books at the New York State Fair. And this is a 10-day event that over 100,000 people a day would attend. So when this case was going on, there were 19 Sankirtan devotees that were sent there to you know, just kind of test the waters out and just go ahead, because we still had our free speech, but the state of New York was trying to take it away from us, but the case hadn't been finalized yet. So we were out there distributing, and the government assigned a state trooper. These are the kind of the top cops in New York State to each devotee. And the state trooper, what he would do after we distributed a book to someone, they would go up to him and tell him, you know, those are the Hare Krishnas. They probably said a lot of negative things. And would you like to press charges against him? You know, so they were actually soliciting this. So I got arrested, you know, and the cop was extremely abusive to me when he got me in the car. And he didn't give me some of you probably have seen the police shows, you know, on television, hopefully before you came to the movement and not afterwards. But the cop is supposed to give you your rights. You have a right to a lawyer. You have a right to remain silent, you know, blah, blah, like that. So the guy didn't say that to me. It was just abusive. So anyway, I got arrested. It was a minor charge, and the devotees got me out. You know, I was like maybe half an hour in jail. But what I did when I went back to the state fair to distribute the next day, I lodged a formal complaint against this policeman. You know, I taken his badge number, and then I could see by their body language that they weren't very happy with me, that I was doing this. So later in the day, they arrested me again. And this time, they threw as they say in police parlance, they threw the book at me. And they had enough charges that if I were convicted of them, I would spend 25 years in jail. So, and they put me in solitary confinement. They placed $50,000, I think it was $50,000 bail on me. And I grew up 40 miles, which is what, about 50 kilometers from Syracuse. And my parents, some other, got involved. And they put their house up to get me out of jail. So I got out of jail. And, you know, of course, I went back and distributed. And then, you know, about maybe 9 months later, there was the trial. You know, so there was four devotees that went, and there were headlines, you know, in the Syracuse Herald Journal, the local newspaper, about the Hare Krishnas on trial. And, you know, the trial went on. It was a big high-profile thing. And they let us out. They dropped all the charges on one condition, that we would stay out of Syracuse for the rest of our lives. Next year, I was back in Syracuse distributing again. Not at the fair, but just kind of undercover. So we didn't really care about these things, because these people don't really know what Dharma is. They don't really know how to punish people or what to punish them for, because they're all concocting. You know, so this is the point, you know, that the Vishnu Dutas are making to the Yama Dutas. You know, you gotta know, you know, I mean, you're representatives of Yamaraj, and what is religion and what is their religion? You gotta know that first before you arrest someone if you're representing Yamaraj. So it becomes more and more clear. I mean, this is like incredible Leela, you know, as it unfolds and reveals the absolute potency of the holy name. In the next chapter, in a purport, Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who gives support from the Garuda Purana, that one who chants the holy name helplessly or unintentionally, he chases away, I think that's the phraseology that's used, he chases away sinful reactions from this life, just as the roar of a lion will scatter away the with small animals. So it's so powerful. And, you know, the Yamadutas somehow or other, they didn't have that information. So there's a lot of unpacking to do. You know, as we'll see, the Yamadutas defend their position, you know, on the basis of Dharma, you know, that someone has to go through atonement and this whole thing. But, you know, their frame of reference is actually what Srila Vyasadeva describes in the second verse of Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dharma, as on the material platform. Dharma Projita Kaitavo Tra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedya Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kim Va Parayishvaraha Sajo Ridya Varudite Kritibi Shushubish Tatsuna. So the Bhagavatam, you know, it kicks out all religious activities which are materially motivated, right from the very beginning, in the second verse, and gets rid of it. So, you know, that's basically, you know, what the Yamadutas are drawing their information from, you know, this, the Karmakanda sections of the Bhagavatam. So there's a big difference, you know, when one starts chanting Hare Krishna, he accesses bhakti, you know, which goes way beyond this. Goes completely beyond the material platform, brings one up to the platform of surrendering to Krishna. And as we know from Bhagavad Gita, when that takes place, when one surrenders to Krishna, Sarva Dharma Purukchagja, Mamikram Sharanam Braja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papdevyo, Mokshayishami Masuchaha, then automatically, you know, as soon as one does that, Krishna, he takes charge of those sinful reactions. It's not in the, you know, you're not under the law of karma anymore. I mean, here's so many devotees thrown around the world, well, my karma is this and my karma is that, and I'm suffering because I went to the astrologer and he told me this and that's what's going to happen. My God, you know. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajan. Well, the Lord Brahma himself describes in Brahma Samhita that when one takes up devotional service, he's no longer under the laws of karma. So then why is it? Okay, so getting back to theodicy, why is it? But we actually got answers. You know, we've got answers. I'm not saying me, I'm saying we, you know, because we get it from the Supreme Lord himself, Lord Chaitanya. It's incredible depth philosophically in understanding, you know, how to process distress in this material world on the devotional platform. Now, how is it that some eternally liberated soul, such as Queen Kunti, can say, Vipada Shantuta Shastra, Tatra Tatra Jagadguru, Bhavato Darshanam Yanchat, Apuna Bhavadarshanam? Let all of those calamities happen again and again. I mean, hey, the Pandavas really got it. You know, they got it really heavily. You know, so many extreme circumstances. Let all those calamities happen again and again. Because when they happen, then you come to us. And when you come to us, we don't see repeated birth and death again. She's looking at it as a great opportunity for making progress devotionally. Not afraid of it. She's welcoming it because she understands Krishna's behind it. I'm going to say something that will wake all of you up. I mean, not that you're asleep. Please don't take any offense. In 1996, during the Srila Prabhupada centennial, this centennial was observed by the centennial committee. Lokanath Swami was the chairperson, but there was heavy consultation with the GBC, and very senior devotees participated in this. And it was observed by a lotus with many different petals. And one petal in the lotus dealt with reuniting Srila Prabhupada's family. So the Centennial Committee developed different strategies to do this. Because after Srila Prabhupada left, there was very substantial exodus from our movement of devotees that were serving in different temples throughout the world. And here was an opportunity to hopefully turn that around. This is 19 years after Prabhupada left. So there was different reunions organized in different parts of the world. I remember there was a big one here in Mayapur. And then they published two issues of Unity magazine with this purpose, to kind of pull devotees together. And in the first article, or the first issue, was an interview with Vyasaki Prabhu. And many devotees know him for his expertise as a musician. And he and his wife, in the preceding 2 years, had traveled throughout the world and met with over 500 devotees that had stopped practicing Krishna consciousness and had disassociated themselves from ISKCON. And they found two common denominators. Let's see, I think that common denominator phrase isn't so common in India. They found two common characteristics, and every one of these 500 devotees. Anybody want to guess what those two characteristics were? I'm just trying to keep you awake here. Okay, Mataji, did you read the article? Okay.
I think they stopped reading Prabhupada's books.
That's not what he cited. Did you read the article, Gitanagri Prabhu? Okay. Go ahead. That wasn't what they cited. I'm not saying that you're wrong. It wasn't what they cited. Well, that's good. That's good. That's a very intelligent guess. Okay, so let me, I'll just cut it short. You know, I'm running against the clock here. The first thing is that every single one of them expressed deep respect and love for Srila Prabhupada. Amazing, huh? Second thing is that every single one of them, somehow or other, in this discussion, and this was analyzed by Vyasaki Prabhu, were unable to accommodate the aspect of our philosophy enunciated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, 8th text. Okay, now, I wonder if I should have a show of hands of those of you that know this sloka. Maybe I won't. Okay. So it's a very, very prominent sloka because it's the Mahavakyam for processing distress and coming out of that distress in a more elevated condition than you were before you went into it. Okay, so tate nukampam shukshumikshumano bunjane vatma kritam vipakam vidvag vapabir vidan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade satayapak. One who always seeks your mercy, this is Lord Brahma speaking to Krishna after the Brahma Vibhohan Leela. One who always seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions, understanding that they're coming about as a result of one's past misdeeds. Sounds a little bit like karma. No, but it's not. I'll explain that. And it goes on, rendering service with body, mind, and words, offering obeisances to the Lord from the very core of his heart, then that person becomes sadayabhag. He becomes eligible to enter into pure devotional service because it's become his rightful claim. Wow. So, you know, we get descriptions, you know, in the questions of the sages chapter like the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, you know, we start right out, you know, the conditions in Kali Yuga, prayena payasa sabya kalavashmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya yupatuta. You know, this, you know, in Kali Yuga, you know, people, you know, they have short lives, they're always quarreling with one another, they're lazy, they're misguided, they're unlucky, and above all, they're always disturbed. You know, there's so much sin going on. There's no understanding of how to act and, you know, how to function in life in such a way that you can be satisfied. Because this doesn't exist outside of the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I don't mean to sound sectarian, but really, those that specialize in theodicy never really figured it out through their mental speculation, because our process is avaroha panta. You know, we get it from up above. This isn't coming from our teeny little brains. It's coming from the Supreme Lord. So, you know, in the purporting, Gopi Prandhan did this purport, and he drew heavily from the acharyas. Matter of fact, one time I was given a class in Vrindavan. This is probably early 90s. No, maybe even late 80s. And the VIT used to have all of the... He translated all the commentaries when they started working on the 10th canto after Prabhupada left. And he had all these incredible references, you know, that the acharyas gave. And he pretty much included all of them in the purport. So it's a super important purport for staying alive in Krishna consciousness. Remember now, going back to this, you know, article, this interview of Vyasaki, every single one of the 500 devotees that had stopped practicing Krishna consciousness and had disassociated themselves from ISKCON, some or other, weren't able to accommodate this aspect of the philosophy in their lives. So in other words, they came into a challenging circumstance, they experienced distress, and the distress knocked them out. They weren't able to deal with it in a way that they could become enlivened and advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I guess all of you probably now want to understand how to apply this aspect of the philosophy in your life. So when the big tests come, you're ready for it, and you can sail through it. There's been a couple times three times I've taught a seminar called the Transcendental Judo Seminar. Okay, now like Vamsi Vadan is a very peaceful person. But let's say I say something that just really pushes his buttons and he gets super angry at me. This is from Sivadhan. He's sitting right here in the front. He's one of these like elevated Pune brahmacharis, you know, that's he's traveling all over. And it's true. He actually is. But he, you know, he's a very empowered Shastric teacher and trainer of the devotees. And let's say I push his buttons, and he comes up, he gets really angry, he's just ferocious, and he comes at me, and he's going to punch me in the nose. It's a little out of character for him, but let's say that's what happens, okay? It's out of character. I mean, the Yamadutas are doing something that's pretty far out too, you know? But so let's say Vamsi's, he's going to punch me in the nose. So I got my black belt in judo, so that his fist is coming right at my face. I grab his hand and I flip him over with the force he's using to punch me in the nose. Okay, that's judo. Okay, if you got a black belt in jujitsu, that's what you do. So, what's that got to do with suffering? Where am I going? Did I go crazy? Well, actually, the tattva that comes from tate nukam sukshamikshamano, there's other references actually equip us so when the distresses come, we can take the distress, that energy from the material energy, or that force from the material energy, and flip it over and experience transcendental ecstasy. Does that sound all right? Anybody want to sign up for the seminar? I'm not actually scheduled to do it, but so it's a long seminar, and I got 7 minutes to go, so I got to move. So one thing is that in the purporting, Gopi Prandhan reiterates, you know, the devotee's not under the laws of karma. Okay, so then why is this going on? And why does he attribute it to his past misdeeds? This is what Lord Brahma says. So it's yeah, okay, so he may have done some things in the past. From that past, he's gotten a body. Karmana divanetrena. He's received this body because of his deeds and his desires in a previous life. It's been awarded by the divine Lord, the divine energy of the Lord. And, you know, it's kind of an automatic, you know, this cycle, birth after birth, you know, and there's a trajectory that the subtle body goes with the, you know, travels into the next body and carries on where it left off. So a lot of the attributes that one would have prior to taking up devotional service continue, you know, there's still some of this going on. You know, once we take up devotional service, because we're not fully purified yet. But then we hear, you know, like Prabhupada, he says, like at the time of initiation, the spiritual master takes away the karma of the devotee. The fan's unplugged. Okay, in the 1944 BTG article, Prabhupada unpacks this verse from Padma Purana that describes you know, the chain of sinful reactions, and this is in you know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, and how the this karma's cut, you know, kleshagni, you know, and how the distresses of the living entity are relieved. So he gives this famous example of how the fan is unplugged, and then it keeps spinning. So he says it seems that this that these sinful reactions are continuing, but actually that's not the case. They stop all at once. So then why is it that, you know, we get some kind of a paralleling, you know, when someone goes to an astrologer, he's in a tough period, and, you know, hey, that makes sense. Yeah, okay, that's my chart. So how is that? So the point is that Krishna, this is how Prabhupada, this is Giriraj Swami in a 1992 Nectar Devotion course, describes how Prabhupada says that Krishna takes charge of the sinful reactions. And he uses those reactions to help the devotee. Well, now wait a minute. Isn't, you know, like Prabhupada tells the story of the German mothers that prayed to God, oh, my dear Lord, please let my son come back alive from war. You know, it's during World War II. And then they were killed. And then the mothers became atheists. So why would Krishna take the sinful reaction, which usually means distress, right? That's what it means, or increased material desires, and use it to help the devotee? How is that? Matter of fact, there is a description. This is a very significant purport. This is one, it's easy to remember, so you can look it up. 1.9.19. Okay, got it? 1.9.19. This is passing of Bhishma Day's first canto, 19th text. And Prabhupada describes different bhavs that a devotee has, or that the Lord has with different devotees. He starts out with Jashoda Mayi, you know, this loving Vatsalya Ras, and then Arjuna, he drove his chariot, such deep loving friendship. Then Sukadeva Goswami, and then he says, the tribulations a devotee undergoes is another transcendental bhav with the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, says that Krishna puts a devotee in distress to deepen his devotion. But then we got these 500 devotees, you know, that stop practicing. So then, how do we process all of this so that it actually goes this way? What I'd like to hear from someone, what is the most prominent instruction that Srila Prabhupada ever gave on chanting? The one that, you know, if someone asks you, what did Prabhupada say about chanting Hare Krishna? What was his kind of the most prominent instruction that he ever gave on it? Yeah. Okay, that's one. Chant and be happy. Okay, that works. Yes, Matthew. That wasn't what I was looking for. It's a good answer, but, you know. Okay, I'm an old man. I can't hear very well, so you got to say that five times as loud as you just said it. That's a good one. That's true. But the most prominent one, the one that he's like really famous for, and we've heard it probably a million times. Yes, Ganga Matata. Huh? Okay, that's, yeah, we heard that a few times. Maybe I should give you the answer because this could go on and on. That one should chant, you know, it should be like the genuine cry of a child for his mother. Now, all of you been little babies at one time or other, you probably remember one time you fell down, got a big owie, and you went, Mommy! You know, super intense, right from the heart. That's how we're supposed to chant. Now, if we get these pinpricks, you know, from the material energy, it actually makes it a little easier. You know, there's a description in the fifth chapter, the 11th canto, of how the sages of Satyuga worship Kali Yuga. This is just after the famous Krishnavarnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangashtra Parshadam verse, you know, which predicts Lord Chaitanya's advent. And there, it's going on, you know, it's describing how the sages of Satyuga worship Kali Yuga because the Yuga Dharma is so powerful that one is very quickly elevated to the highest levels of Krishna consciousness. And it goes on and describes how the suffering is so intense in Kali Yuga that people are forced to take shelter of the holy name. I mean, hey, look, just examine how you became devotees. Were you suffering a little bit? I mean, practically 99% of us, that's why we're sitting here today. Right? Even these, you know, like even these IIT guys, you know, that like are headed for multi-million dollar corporate positions in America if they stay with it and they become devotees. Heck, every single one of them, right? It's because of distress. I mean, Ananda Maya Byasa, we all want to be happy. We want to experience pleasure. We want, you know, deep satisfaction in the heart. It's not available on the material platform. It's not available in Kaitava Dharma. It just isn't there. But when you chant Hare Krishna, and particularly you have this mood of crying like a baby for his mother, the genuine cry of a baby for his mother, you know, and particularly when you've been just gone through some super heavy trauma, which makes it a lot easier to cry, then the bliss machines start turning on, you know? I mean, the Ladini Shakti starts reciprocating with your sincere cry to Krishna, please engage me in your service. I don't care. Narayana Pura Sarve Nakutashtana Bibhuti Swarga Pavarga Nara Keshu Apitu Yarta Darshan. I don't care whether I'm heaven or hell, whether I'm suffering or enjoying. I just want to serve you, Krishna. That's the mood of the Vaishnava. And when Krishna sees that's his heart, There's so much reciprocation. It far surpasses any kind of material pleasure. Okay, Hare Krishna, I'm over time, so you can leave if you like, and I guess, you know, if you want to stick around, I can take a few questions. Yes, Prabhu, we need a microphone here. Prabhu, this microphone, can you run it back there? This devotee? And, Somehow it's not working.
Hari Bol.
There we go.
I was just wondering about the mistake that the Yamadutas made. Sometimes I wonder a little bit, just for ordinary living entities who aren't engaged in devotional service, do the authorities, like the Yamaraj or the Yamadutas or Indra, do they ever make mistakes in dishing out pious credits or sinful reactions?
Well, they did on this occasion.
Is this just Leela, or is this like something that actually happens often? That's kind of...
No, I think they learned their lesson with this, you know, so that didn't happen again. I think that, you know, in the next chapter, there's a purport where Prabhupada says, you know, that if you chant Hare Krishna, the Yamadutas won't come. Because they got rectified, you know? They were slapped around by the Vishnudutas. Their false egos were injured, and they were awoken. So, you know, Leela Shakti, I'm assuming. I had this question, and I was calling my friends this morning, but no one answered. So I'm still have a question, so I can't really give you a definitive answer, but it does appear like Leela Shakti. Anybody? Seems like the Leela is unfolding. Yes, Prabhu? Tita.
There is another example of this Muni who was...
They're nice and loud into the mic.
The another example of that Muni who was pierced. He was piercing these ants, and then he was...
Yeah.
Supposed to be, then also he cursed Yamaraj because of that.
Yeah, so, yeah, pierced. Yeah, I can't remember the whole pastime. Just unpack it a little bit so it makes sense.
He tortured the ants when he was a small boy.
Yeah.
And then later on he was supposed to be... how is it called in English? Pierced through the body. The
impaled.
Yeah. Munakamuni, huh?
The door, right. So, anyway, anything that's going on in the Bhagavatam, we can understand is, you know, Leela Shakti, internal energy of the Lord, but they're very, very, instructive pastimes, for sure. Yes, Kirinagri Pu, and then, oh, here, no, Mataji.
This verse about Tate Nukampam, that's... I'm helping.
It's a life insurance policy. You know.
Yes.
Anybody who doesn't know it should immediately take this policy out and learn it. And learn the tapa behind it, too.
Well, that's I'm actually trying to help Guru Seva with her book about her husband who left his body, Krahila Prabhu, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he was suffering so much that he was like, please, take me home because he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And then he asked Guru Seva to get the 10th canto with that verse. So then he asked Guru Seva to take the 10th canto and read that verse. They took the verse that you were just
read
talking
that
about.
Verse, yeah.
Yes, and then so she read this verse with the purports. And after that, he surrendered completely. He didn't have pain anymore, and he just totally surrendered, and that's where he got totally the mercy to ultimately, you know, feel Krishna's presence and surrender to all this suffering that he was going
through. Transcendental judo formula, you know,
it really works. So that was interesting.
That's all Krishna wanted, was for him to just do that. That's what he wants all of us to do. That's why we go through this whole... All of these phantasmagoric episodes, you know, where our minds are just so disturbed and everything's going wrong. And it's just that simple, you know, Hare Krishna, that's all that Krishna wants from us. You just turn to Him and love Him and, you know, repent all of our nonsense and just be surrendered souls, you know. And then we're happy. we're so satisfied, you know, it's what we all want to do. We just, some or other, you know, we're abstinent. You know? And it's okay. We'll give Ganga and then Gita Nagari. Ganga Mataji.
I just want to ask you, like you were saying about these 500 that went away, what can we say to them to encourage to come back in the case that it happened?
Well, we can understand that, you know, that there's the fifth chapter of the first canto, the 19th verse, you know, that they don't become regular karmis. Once they've tasted the lotus feet of the Lord, they can't forget it. So they're just, you know, Krishna's purifying them in a different way, but he's still looking out after them. It's also described that, you know, someone who engages in sinful activity, once he's taken up devotional service, it's like a snake with the venomous fangs removed. You know, that sinful activity isn't the same. I have an example. There's one devotee that joined when Prabhupada was on the planet, and he distributed books for a couple of years. And then somehow or other, he left. He had bad association, he left the movement. And he was out for 30 years. But he came back in fully fixed and ready to go. And I became friends with him. And, you know, I gave him different, when he'd come to me and I'd give him advice different times. But he just became a temple president, you know. So it's like he didn't miss a beat, you know. There was like this intense purification, and he went through outside, got married, had a crummy job, you know, did the whole nine yards, you know. But he always had this in his mind. He didn't really feel so comfortable that he wasn't full on, you know, serving Krishna. So then Krishna made all these arrangements and poof, back in and, you know, on with life. And so but that should be a big part of our hearts, have compassion, you know, to help other devotees, whether they're active or inactive. This is really the way that we can please Krishna the most. And we should take it seriously. You know, this is the very essence of Srila Prabhupada's mission is described by Prahlad Maharaj in the 9th chapter of the 7th canto. Navodvijay para duratya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamita magnachita suchetato vimukachetasa indriyarta mayasukaya param urvahato vimudham. This is Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Nrisimhadev. He said, "Oh, best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. Forever, whoever I am, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities." In the 22nd chapter of Madhya Lila, Prabhupada translates that, "I'm fully absorbed in chanting your holy name, and I'm always feeling transcendental bliss." Okay, so either hearing and chanting from Bhagavatam or hearing and chanting the holy name. But what I'm concerned with love for those fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and for maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. I mean, you know, when Prabhupada came to America, what an impossible situation he walked into. My God, you know, this is amazing. But he melted everyone's heart with love, with compassion. And that's why they surrendered. You ask anybody that had his association, that was the point. So we should also, because we know what it's like. You know, material life is hell. It's hell. Now we have, you know, we've been gifted with this amazing jewel of Krishna consciousness, you know, it's so relishable. So we should share it. And in doing that, you know, we bring, you know, then we satisfy Krishna even more, and we become, and he reciprocates with us even more, our relationships thickens with him, we experience more and more Bodhini Shakti, because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to help each other. We should cooperate, you know, and really give our lives to helping other devotees. And then we'll be so satisfied by that. Gita Nagari Prabhu? And Ishvara. Ishvara is going to have one of those stumped Bhagavatam class speakers questions, I think. Ishvara is very learned.
I was just wondering, I often wonder about this Tate Nukam Pambas. Is there a time limitation on that verse? In other words, when, you know, you're really undergoing some really heavy-duty suffering, maybe right in the midst of the suffering, it's really hard to appreciate that verse. But then maybe as some time goes on, you can do as it says. So I'm saying, is it necessary that when persons are really going through really intense suffering, that they immediately take up that spirit of that verse, or could it come later?
Well, the thing is that it's a good idea to know the tattva that's expanded in this verse, ASAP, because we don't know when the dark night of the soul is going to knock on our door, you know, these heavy tests. You know, usually when someone's really in the middle of something, then I guess psychologists refer to it as empathic listening. You know, they open the door for communication by just hearing what the devotee's got to, you know, what he's going through. Because just by doing that, you know, the intelligence is strengthened considerably, because he understands, hey, I'm not alone in this battle, you know, this huge inundation of distress that's crashing on my head. I'm not alone. I've got someone that's willing to take the time to share with me, you know, the burden. And, you know, once that, you know, there's Guhyamakyati Prichati, which is really the key, you know, for staying alive in Krishna consciousness, this kind of, this ability to reveal one mind in confidence to a trusted friend, and, you know, that will help him through this, you know, challenge, then, you know, the processing's accelerated. But I know myself, the different trials and tribulations I've gone through as a devotee, sometimes I can't really get it until, you know, several months or several years after the fact, what boon Krishna has bestowed upon me with this. You know, it kind of takes a while sometimes to process, and the mind kind of subsides in its you know, kind of upheavals, you know, kind of slows down a little bit, and the trauma is a little bit behind, and then clarity comes. So that's not uncommon. That's my experience. I'm pretty sure that other devotees also have experienced this. But it's these things that we go through in life are not by accident. They're arranged by the Lord. And but that's the idea behind it. You know, the law of karma is there for that purpose as well. It's a reformatory measure. When Krishna takes charge of that karma and personally directs what takes place in a devotee's life, you know, it's a more personalized thing. And then we can, you know, this verse where it's actually a loving exchange, if somehow or other we get to that platform and seen it in that way, then it's much easier to process. Much easier to process, because it's coming directly from Krishna, and Krishna is doing this out of love. Somehow I may not be able to fully understand why, but it's to help me, you know, in my journey to the ultimate goal of life, to develop pure love for God. He's severing these attachments, these subtle attachments that remain, and this is the explanation for the distresses that a devotee undergoes. It's not that devotee, I mean, Krishna's parents, you know, Vasudeva and Devaki, you know, they were in prison for a long time. You know, I mean, and such intimate associates, the Pandavas, look what they went through.
look what Srila Prabhupada went through. I mean, he's coming across in a boat, he had two heart attacks. But then Krishna came to him. He wrote, you know, don't worry, you know, come on. I'm here with you. That's what, you know, devotees experience Krishna's presence, sometimes even more so in these times of acute distress. Vishwara Prabhu? And then we'll close on this. Nice and loud. Is it on? To switch it on from the bottom. Yeah.
I guess the battery is finished.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think somebody made a comment. I think it was Brahmananda Prabhu who made a comment once. He said that just like if you join the mafia, you can't really get out. Once you join the mafia.
Say it again.
One time, I think Brahmananda Prabhu made a comment that if you join the mafia, you cannot get out. If you join mafia, you know.
The mafia.
Yeah.
Okay. When you get caught by the mafia, you can't get out.
Once you get in, you cannot get out.
Okay.
So you compare Krishna consciousness movement to, if once you join Krishna consciousness movement, you can't really get out. Even though you may pretend, but you can't come out. Because once you have an experience of Krishna, that's it.
Yeah, I heard of a devotee that was just, he was determined to leave. And then he went, and somehow or other, he ended up in a vegetarian restaurant, and it turned out to be Govinda's buffet. He just couldn't get away. You know? It's true, you know, Krishna, you know, once we've surrendered, he doesn't forget us. We may be trying hard to forget him, but he won't forget us, and he'll arrange for our deliverance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.